everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Pitching In NPL show for the month of April, no less. And joining me to discuss winning leagues, promotions, the playoffs, and a bit of relegation as well, we're joined by some dear old friends who joined me here pre-recorded live on a Sunday afternoon. Oh, it's evening now, actually. Thanks for coming on a Sunday night. James Hayes joins us. Hello, James.
How are you doing, Ben? Sorry, just getting rid of all the dust from yesterday.
Good. Simo's here, Andrew Simpson, non-league report from Cheshire. Hello, Simo.
Hello. They were real tears when you said relegation.
Oh, sorry, mate. From Whitby Town Radio, it's Paul Connolly.
How we doing, everyone? Nice, boring end to the season for us, losing to Gainsborough. Welcome one back. Of only two teams to do the double over us.
Welcome back. Berkey's here from 26-0. Hello, Berkey.
Hiya, Ben. A nice, entertaining end of the season for us at Ige United. A convincing 2-0 win against FC United yesterday. And I'm just glad that you're only here for a good time, really, Ben, because if you weren't, you know.
Because we certainly had one yesterday, didn't we? It was a thrilling minute, that game. Anyway, well, also joining us on this week's show, we are going to be talking about winning leagues, as we'll be joined by Steve Cunningham, manager at Buxton, Martin Carruthers, the manager at Ilkeston, Dave McNabb, his counterpart at Warrington Rylands, and Liverpool's manager, Jonathan Rimmington. Those four wonderful managers joining us on this week's show. And Berkey, we'll start with you. And just a big congratulations to Buxton. They pretty much sealed it after the Easter weekend, didn't they? But, you know, worthy champions.
Oh, yeah, of course they were. When I saw them back in November, it was one of Steve Cunningham's first games in charge, and I genuinely thought they were one of the best teams I've ever seen at Step 3. Never mind Step 3, I thought they would have been able to compete in the conference, well, the National League. Never mind National North, I thought they were that good. And I'm not remotely surprised they went on to win the title. That said, it showed how fragile they can be and how fragile the weird and wonderful world of football can be. Is when they lost Diego for a couple of months after he broke his arm, their form dipped dramatically. And he's such a talismanic player. And when you lose someone like that, it's only natural that the results go south as well. But that left the door open for South Shields, wide open as well. They didn't press home the advantage. It was kind of theirs to lose, really. But Buxton, full credit to him, pulling through in the end and worthy winners.
And Simo, I mean, South Shields, the thing that struck me about South Shields was obviously the away form, which we mentioned week in, week out. Because Buxton, they had that slip, didn't they, when Diego got out injured, and it was a major wobble. In fact, I think someone on this panel actually said that Buxton can't win the league now. Don't remember who that was.
And I have no idea who that was.
I wouldn't embarrass them anyway, to be fair. But they've come from so far back to do this right at the end, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I tweeted the stat last night. On January the 22nd, after they'd got pumped by Morpeth, and it was extended a winless run to six matches, and they've lost five of those. They were 10 points behind Matlock, who were top of the table at the time, and occupied fifth position in the table. So that's where they have come from. They put together this 15-match unbeaten run, which only ended yesterday with the game at Stalybridge, to perform quite the overtaking manoeuvre when you consider that the gap to Matlock by the time the final whistle went yesterday, they were 9 points clear of Matlock. So it's extraordinary swing and extraordinary turnaround, and for that reason, absolutely worthy champions. And it'll be really interesting to see how they get on in the National League North.
If I remember rightly, in the New Year show, I did say that Buxton would walk the league, so happy to be right on that one. No, I mean, I saw Shields on Monday as we're recording this against Whitby, and obviously we went up there and spoiled the party and pretty much handed the title to Buxton, which, you know, they can thank us for later, I'm sure. But Shields, I just didn't think they had the edge over Buxton, who have a lot of experienced players at the level. Shields, a lot of young players. Yeah, I think all in all, Buxton, worthy winners of it.
Well, we'll be covering off the playoffs in a second, but let's stick with Buxton now. And let's hear from the manager of Buxton, the Northern Premier League Premier Division champions, here's Steve Cunningham. Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us, and a big, big congratulations on winning the league this past weekend. How does it feel on Monday as we speak now?
Yeah, it's obviously still a bit surreal. It's been quite an emotional roller coaster for everyone involved, I think, this season, especially not just for me, but for the chairman, the players, the supporters. And you know, Saturday was just a big relief for all the hard work that's been put into it by a lot of people, even before me, you know. So to be crowned champions, as everyone knows, it's one of the hardest things to do in football, winning a football league over 42 league games with all the ups and the downs. But I think we, you know, we've done the league proud in how we've tried to play and represented the club in the best way. And being crowned champions, it's a real reward for everybody.
And we should say, I mean, it was a tricky gig you got here, Steve, midway through the season. I mean, Gary did a cracking job of assembling this team. You've come in. The results were there to begin with, but then there was the FA Cup exit, wasn't there? And Diego getting injured. And then there was a dip. And at that point, I mean, what did you think? Because it's been an incredible run that you've been on. But we have to remember that tricky spell that you had over the new year. I mean, that must have been incredibly difficult to recover from that the way you have.
Yeah, it was a tough moment in my football, especially on a personal note. Also, probably from a club perspective because of how well they were doing. And like you say, we started off really well. But what happens with any cup run, the Lord Mayor show. And then it was a real hangover. It really was, because reaching the heights of a televised game on the BBC, you know, everything just became so much bigger. And once that had disappeared, injuries to obviously Diego, you know, Wardy as well was out for a period. And you're talking about two players who'd scored 17 goals at each at that time. So it was a tough time for the club, especially for the dressing room. But we were playing well in a lot of the matches. It's just that people were only seeing scorelines. And you do start to question yourself a little bit. And obviously a lot of noise is being made from outside. But everybody gets that. And you just got to believe in yourselves. And we had a chat and we amended things. We worked hard on things in training. And as well as the quality of the group, you know, mentally strong as well. We've been on a run that we just kept going and going. And once you get that momentum, you know, I think before Michalova conceding only two goals in 13, 14 matches, shows how hard as a group we'd worked to really close up shop. And then the return of Diego and then Wardy and other players chipping in, all of a sudden it's working at both ends of the pitch. And, you know, I'm immensely proud of the run that we went on. And granted, we finished with a defeat. But I think, as everyone probably saw, you know, it's pretty much a done deal, even though I didn't want to admit that myself, because you've still got a game to win and go out on a high. But immensely proud of the turnaround, not just from myself and the players, but the board. You know, they stuck with us, and they were, I'm pretty certain, probably chairman David Hopkins, he was probably nervous as well, you know, with all the noises being made around the decision of bringing me in. But, you know, not to sound smug, but I certainly think that me and the chairman certainly had the last laugh on Saturday.
And it's an incredible achievement as well. It's something I've picked up upon by doing the points per game stuff and the relegation battle. It's very noticeable that Buxton have won this league with the lowest points tally across all Step 3. And Witt and Albion have been relegated with a very high points tally. And that's all credit to this division. I know it's a cliche about there not being any easy games, but I'm going to suggest, despite the points tally, no one in the other Step 3 divisions would take on Buxton and do well in a cup competition. So all credit to Buxton for winning this league. It's an incredible division to get out of, clearly.
Yeah, it's a really tough division. I mean, you've only got to look at the calibre of players that are in the league, the calibre of teams, the managers that, you know, that have dropped into the division now as well. You know, the fan bases are getting bigger at football clubs, and it's a tough league. It really is. It's relentless. And the demand on players comes in the part-time. The pitches you play on, it's tough. You know, it's not easy. I know people throw the money shout about, and it's easy to win it with money. You know, I support Manchester United, and we're one of the biggest spenders in the world, and we're rubbish at the moment. But I just look at it and go, you know, it takes a collective effort, and everyone being on the same page. And, you know, it is a tough league. And, you know, I would say that, you know, congratulations to all the teams that have really done well this evening, reaching the playoffs. Gutted for people like Witten, because I've played there before, and I hope them and Grantham do bounce back.
Well, Steve, it's the National League North now for Buxton. When does your mind go towards, you know, preparing for next season, not just your mind as well, but the club more generally, because, you know, the work that's gone on behind the scenes with doing the pitch and the stadium facilities, the work's been done in recent years. So what's preparations going to be like heading into National League North now for Buxton?
Well, I know speaking with the chairman, David's been very much on with things in the background anyway. He's always trying to improve the facility, more so for the community as well. And to be in line with any, you know, potential promotions, so that you go up and you're ready for it. The good thing is with the chairman and the board is the football club's moving as fast off it as it is on the pitch, which sometimes teams do struggle with that. And that's why you see clubs struggle sometimes when they do progress. But I certainly think the infrastructure that David's put in place at the moment allows the club to be, you know, financially stable. It's not reliant on just one person, especially with the cup runs and the facilities that we have at the moment. But we spoke a couple of weeks back, and as you know me anyway, I'm always planning, and me and my assistant Damon, we tried to do a little bit of planning over the last 2-3 weeks, knowing the outcomes for two scenarios, one if we're out of the division and one if we're still in the division. So yeah, preparations underway to make sure that with the success that we have of gaining promotion, that we're not going in there to just make up numbers. We're certainly not going in there to say that we're going to go and win the league, but we're going to go in there and hopefully make enough noises that allow us to compete at the top end of the table.
Oh, great stuff. Well, Steve Cunningham, manager of the league champions, Buxton, a big, big thank you for taking the time to come on this show. I know all the other shows that you've been on, not just as a Buxton manager, but Cohn as well before that. And yeah, a big congratulations. Good luck in the National League North, and catch up. Hopefully not soon, but we'll catch up again someday in the future.
Top man, thanks for your support, mate.
Steve Cunningham there, manager of Buxton, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And James, I'll come to you finally just to say about Buxton. How long have they been at this level now? Because this is a big promotion for them, isn't it?
It is indeed. I mean, I think they only came back into the league in 97, the same year Whitby Town came into the Northern Premier, thinking about it. Obviously, Alex McKenna will know more than me about this. I mean, obviously, thinking the Tilano brothers in, some of the signs made in the past, if that's what made them the force. And then you look at this season, it's only after the FA Cup defeat, there was that only real blip in the season for this year. Other than that, they had two runs of 15-game wins. And don't forget, this is with a new manager change as well. And you don't tend to see that quite a lot in Champions side. So, next season in the National League, I don't think they're going to be bottom four contenders. I think they realistically could be mid-table there straight away with what else Cunningham's come in. It's going to be a great loss to some of the clubs, because obviously it's a good day out. But Buxton, congratulations. They do deserve this year.
Yeah. Steve, you raise an important point there about them changing the manager. And you've got to give some credit in all this to Gary Haywood as well. Yeah. Because they got off to an absolutely flying start with him at the helm too. And he assembled most of that team. So, you know, you've got to give him a lot of credit as well as Cunny.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to confirm, that promotion from Unibond Division 1 was in 2006-2007 season. So, what's that, 15 years at this level?
Yeah, 15 years. Yeah. And they've only finished outside the top half 3 times. So,
there we go.
They've always been knocking on the door, but never quite kicked it down.
And Manchester League champions back in 1932. Thank you, Wikipedia. Anyway, well, big congratulations to Buxton. We will be hearing from the other league champions in the NPL shortly. But let's talk about the playoffs now, because we've got it confirmed. South Shields will be taking on Warrington on Tuesday night. Wow. Scarborough Athletic hosting Matlock Town. Simo, let's talk about South Shields v Warrington.
Yeah,
that game is basically a mirror of the playoff we had a couple of seasons ago, isn't it? Before it went on to the Super Playoff, where Warrington took on Kings Lynn. So Warrington have done this before. What about South Shields? Are they going to be in the mood on Tuesday, do you feel?
Well, it's a really good question, because they've finished the season with back-to-back defeats, haven't they? So not the greatest prep in the world. And I guess you would say, if you offered them two home games to get promoted, they would probably have taken that because of their home form this season. And before they lost to Whitby last week, they've won 9 successive matches at Mariners Park. They've also done the double over Warrington this season. So they're probably not frightened of Warrington. That home advantage could be really, really important in the next week or so. But you're right, Warrington do have that historic victory in the kind of one-off Super playoffs, although both clubs will want to forget that for different reasons, because then Warrington, of course, went on to be denied promotion to the National League North when they lost to Kingsley in town. So they're not necessarily massively happy memories for either club attached to that. But yes, a precedent there of them going up and doing the business in a playoff game. But I do make South Shields favourites.
And Paul, you'd imagine, wouldn't you, there's going to be a huge crowd there on Tuesday night. It's going to be a cauldron, isn't it, at Mariners Park?
Yeah, it will be. I mean, there was 2,700 nearly there when they played Whitby on Monday, and you know the atmosphere was fantastic. But the thing is, the longer Warrington can drag that game out and keep the pressure on South Shields, that's where it's going to be interesting, because again, Whitby coming out in that second half up there, once they put the pressure on, they got the fans on the backs a little bit, to be honest. And that was where Whitby had their biggest successes, because the players started to feel that. And, you know, you can't underestimate the influence that those sort of 2,700, 3,000 that you would expect to be there can have on that team. So that's going to be the big thing, is if Warrington can just keep keep pushing at South Shields and keep it 0-0 and keep it tight and cagey for as long as they possibly can. Because if they do that, I would expect that Warrington go on to win that game.
Just going back to the original game back in September, just looking at it now, based on what Paul's just said, South Shields scored within 6 minutes and the game actually finished 3-2 in the end to South Shields in a bit of a thriller. There was two penalties in there as well for South Shields. So if it's anything like that on Tuesday night, both managers are going to need a lie down at the end, I'd imagine.
What Simo said earlier about Warrington losing twice against South Shields this season, I was drowning my sorrows after the Manchester Premier Cup final with Teagot. And Michael Clegg came up to us, the Ashton United manager. And I'm paraphrasing him a little bit here, but he said he was sort of not happy that they lost against Hyde in the league the week before. But he thought, well, it's not too bad because you never lose to a team three times in a season. So he thought that Ashton's name was on the cup because of that. I don't know whether that's some sort of hocus pocus kind of thing, but he just had it in his head that Ashton were going to win because they'd already lost twice to Hyde that season. Maybe Warrington are going to think the same thing. Maybe Matt Beasley's going, you never lose three times in a season to a club, do you? You never do. So, I don't know, on that basis, Warrington are surely favourites this week, but we'll see. I think it's going to be a good game, though.
Right, let's touch upon Scarborough against Matlock Town. Simo, I'll come to you first. It was looking a bit shaky for Matlock, but fair play to get that win at the end there against Warrington. Is that the spring that we'll see Matlock return to a bit of form that they had heading into February time?
I think they will certainly feel that, you know, the timing of that result to beat Warrington when we all knew, because we teed it up last week, a certain combination of results, including a Bamba Bridge victory, and Matlock were particularly vulnerable because they had probably the hardest fixture on Saturday. So that will feel like a huge win for them to have beaten Warrington, got back to winning ways anyway after a really strange run with so few goals in their games. And the theme of no goals in games is relevant here, because Scarborough and Matlock have played out two goalless draws in their meetings this season, which would suggest this is going to be really, really tight. In fact, we've talked about the Matlock struggles. They've still only actually conceded one goal in their past seven games.
It's been an incredible defensive record.
Absolutely extraordinary. So that gives you an idea of the size of Scarborough's task. But we talked about home advantage in the other playoff semi-final, and I do think that has some weight here. Scarborough, really strong at home. They've had a decent finish to the season as well to get to third. In fact, they're unbeaten in 11 Premier Division matches at home, so they're feeling really, really good there. I think the last defeat was back in November when Atherton Colls went up there. So, again, I do think that makes them slight favourites, but as we've just touched on with Matlock's strong defensive record, it wouldn't surprise me remotely if it was 1-0 or if it went the distance to penalties.
And they have had a lot of injuries, mind you, this last month or so, but if you can't score, make sure you keep them out of the other end, and that's exactly what Matlock have been doing. But They've been really smart in the transfer market. Just as the window was closing, they signed some players on dual reg, Darren Knight and Benito Lowe from New Mills. And Benito came on and scored on Saturday. So they've got a couple of aces up the sleeve there, which, you know, Warrington won't have had too much of a chance to see what they're like. But the kind of players who on the day they can change the game, and well, we'll see what happens. But I think that's going to be another really good game. Scarborough, they've only lost twice in 2022, and one of them was on New Year's Day against South Shields. So they're in absolutely fantastic form. And considering you look back a few months, 6 months or so, go back to October, November, they were nowhere, absolutely nowhere. Never mind Buxton making up all that ground on Matlock. The amount of ground that Scarborough have gained to A, claw themselves into contention, and then B, carry on moving up the table and to finish third, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And if they don't go up this season, which I've got a sneaky feeling they will, you know, if they don't go up this season, you've got to be right up there as favourites for the next campaign.
And Paul, we mentioned the crowd's going to be like at Mariners Park on Tuesday. It's going to be pretty big at Scarborough Athletic, isn't it, as well, against Matlock. What's your thoughts on this one? Because you've got to remember, Paul Phillips was a goalkeeper, so I'm imagining they're going to be pretty good on penalty shootouts as well, just to say, because that might be a possibility based on what Simo reminded us before their defensive record recently.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we look at the two games between Scarborough and Matlock this season, we're in for a classic out because they've both been 0-0. So that's it's either going to be another 0-0 or it's going to be about 4-4. But it's one of those. I think the crowd at Scarborough, again, they're going to play a big part. They've had sort of 1,500, 1,600 the last three home games of the season. And that's increased dramatically from about 1,000 odd not long before that. So they've done quite well in terms of the crowds. And, you know, when the Scarborough fans are on it, they're very noisy, they're very raucous. They will definitely back their side until the very last ball is kicked on the evening. So that's going to play a big part. But yeah, I can see this being another close game and possibly an extra time and, like you say, possibly penalties. I'm not entirely sure what Scarborough's penalty record will be like this season. You would imagine that Paul Phillips will have Matlock well drilled for that situation.
That top five, Buxton, South Shields, Matlock and Warrington. Buxton, South Shields and Matlock have been to-ing and fro-ing all the way through. Warrington, as we've discussed in the past, have been fifth since 4 years ago, I think. They've always been there, haven't they? The one team who nearly got back into it was Bamber Bridgebirker. I mean, Scarborough have basically replaced Bamber Bridge in the playoffs because Bamber Bridge were there up until Christmas, weren't they? And then they went on a bad run. But they got it back, and fair play, they nearly did it, didn't they, Birker?
Yeah, very, very close, Ben. But that run killed them. You know, they went 8 games without a win, only scored 2 goals as well during that spell. But you've got to give Jamie Milligan so much credit. He's had to rebuild the squad, effectively. There's only 3 players that are at the team now, that are at the club now, that were there in August. It's just how he's done it, I don't know. But he's shown how good he is in not just the loan market, because he's got a lot of credit for doing that, but also bringing in players on a permanent basis too. He's done outstandingly well this season. And I think there's, regardless of what happens in the playoffs and how well Steve Cunningham's done taking Buxton up, I think Jamie Milligan's got to be in with a shout of manager of the season.
And just a closing thought on this little wrap-up of the top end of the table, Paul, just to touch upon Whitby Town, because mathematically it was still possible. Your tweet that you put out last week made me smile. I enjoyed it a lot. It was still possible the last day of the season. But it's been a good year for Whitby, I think, and definitely something to build upon for next year.
Yeah, it's been a very good year. I mean, ultimately, it's disappointing from everyone's point of view that we didn't quite make it into that top five bracket. And I mean, you look at some of the games that we've won this season, there's definitely the quality to go on and do that. But, I mean, it comes down to the thing that's affected Whitby for a couple of seasons is consistency, and especially picking up results against teams in that sort of middle bracket of the table. So winning games against the likes of South Shields and Matlock and those sort of teams above us absolutely fine, and beating sort of the teams that you expect to be in the relegation has been absolutely fine until about the last month and a half. So it's, I mean, obviously situations changed throughout the season, and Whitby have played a lot of teams that have been scrapping for their lives at the bottom, and the results have reflected that, as it often does in this league. But it's a good base to build from. There's obviously going to be ins and outs over the summer, but you know, the core of the squad's been retained. You know, you look at the likes of Jacob Hazel and those sort of players, Dan Rowe, Hawkins, those kind of players have all been retained, ready for next season on new deals. So that's the key starting point, is getting those players tied down and done. Jacob Hazel, I mean, you look at his record this season, 26 league goals and then 33 in all competitions, I think it is. So, I mean, that's the biggest point, is somebody putting the ball in the back of the net. If they can add quality around those sort of key players, those key areas down the spine of the team, I'm thinking, you know, particularly wingers and maybe a striker who can hold the ball up a little bit more, win flick-ons and just give you that extra 30 seconds to get yourself set. And I think that will benefit Whitby massively, and they will probably be a playoff challenging side next year.
Well, let's touch upon step four now and the winners of those leagues. We're going to be hearing from all three victorious managers on this week's show. We're going to start off with the East Division because Liversidge had pretty much sealed the deal after Bank Holiday Monday's results, but a cracking title race between themselves and Mash United, but Liversidge in the end winning the league by 5 points, joining the NPL Premier Division for next season. Let's hear now from the Liversidge manager. Here's Jonathan Rimmington. Well, Jonathan, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations on winning the East Division. Mask have pushed it all the way, but here we are on Sunday now as champions at Liversidge. What's your emotions?
It's been... I never thought we'd be talking... Well, I never thought... When we first came into the league last year, with all the teams that were in it, I honestly thought if we finished top 10, we'd have done amazing. But honestly, with the group we've got, the lads are so together. And I mean, every one of them, 21 lads came yesterday. They all are so tight together. They're like best mates now. And even though I brought... I don't know how many did I bring in last year, 7 or 8 players. And they're the right people. So it's bringing the right, not just footballers, but the right men together, the right people. So they've all gelled and bonded. But listen, I'm still in a bit of a shock, really.
When we talk about the season you've just had, one defeat in the whole league campaign and just 6 draws. I mean, like I said, Mash United, they've only lost 4 games, which ordinarily in a normal season would see you win the league. So, I mean, it's such a brilliant record. And performance. What is it all down to? Do you feel now that the league season's out the way, we can look back now and contemplate what's actually happened?
Listen, I'm still disappointed we lost. I'll be honest, because the second half when we played Hammers, we absolutely camped in their half and couldn't score. And to be fair, the hitters don't break a few times, and like they are doing there when you camped into people's half, but we just couldn't score that day. What's it down to? I think it's just having the right mentality of people around you. We can play. Like yesterday, it works out. We played on a beautiful 3G, and we can pass if we want. We can fight you. We can do every little bit of sort of different sorts of the game aspects. So when you've got that, you've got lads who don't want to lose. And that's what I brought. I mean, people like Kurt Harris and Jack Stockdale, they were both captains at their other clubs at Brighouse and Hossett. Ben Atkinson from Conference North, we brought him in because he had so much to prove, you know. You know, he wasn't playing all the time at Farley, so he's got so much to prove. So when you've got so much to prove, I think it gives them lads that little bit of extra bite, and especially then when we all got them in pre-season, we went to Belfast and it just grew like everybody together. So you could feel it. You could feel it from the early start. And yeah, defensively we're very good. Scoring 98 goals and conceding 22 goals is pretty special, really.
Yeah, it really is. And we can now look towards next season. When do you start to think about next season and any tinkering that you need to do now?
The majority of these players hopefully will stay. You know, we've built a squad really capable of competing. I don't know, you know, we had a couple of good results against Scarborough and Basford, and we got beat by Lancaster. But that, you know, when you lose a game against like Lancaster, it taught us a lot. it taught me a lot. And you've got to be that league. This is another step now. So I think we're going to have to bring a couple of three or four in. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, we're starting straight away. Really, I'm on with it now.
Have you pinched yourself yet about what's actually been achieved as a club?
Listen, I know you do FC United, so I straight away yesterday when final whistle went, because I didn't take anything for granted, even the 14 goals. I'm not that sort of person, so you know I didn't really get involved in anything. But when you said we've got FC United coming, hopefully they'll bring 500 fans, you know. So that sort of things that we've never had at Liverpool, you know, people coming from bigger clubs, and you know that to say that you know Geiser could come down and we'd be the same league as Geiser, you know. It's mad to say. What, 3 years ago, we were in bottom half at North East Counties. It's going to be a tough, tough league for us.
But all credit to this competition you've been in this year. I mean, it's been superb, hasn't it, Jonathan?
Mate, it's been, you know, coming back from the 2 years we've had, you know, staying at home all the time, and, you know, coming back from that, and lads, you know, coming back into playing all the time with fans in, it's just, for that to now transpire with us with two promotions in 2 years, for us, is, well, I can't wait to have a bit of time off, really. But it won't be time off, but it'd be, you know, the pressure of the day before a game and the game day. But listen, we've got our County Cup in, when is it, a week, next Friday, so we've still got to keep going now.
Jonathan, you understand I can't wish you more luck than Brighouse Town in that West Riders Cup competition, but a big good luck to both of you. But just to say, Jonathan, it's been a pleasure catching up throughout this season, you know, keeping across this epic title race with yourselves and Mass United. And just to say a big congratulations, Jonathan, to everyone at Liversidge on what's been achieved this year. Impressive stuff, to say the least, and the best of luck preparing for next season in the NPL Premier Division.
Top man, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Jonathan Rimmington there, manager of Liversidge, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And a big congratulations to Liversidge on their promotion. And we mentioned Buxton's record and, you know, getting to step two, but Liversidge, they've been on a right journey, haven't they? So big congratulations. What we're left with in the East Division is Mass United taking on Shildon on Tuesday night. Cleethorpes Town hosting Stockton Town. If only we had someone from that kind of North Yorkshire, Durham area to join us. Paul! Hello!
How we doing?
I mean, we had Mark Carruthers on the show last week, and it kind of feels this was the whole point of this restructure. We've got three Northeast powerhouses here, all in this playoff race, throwing in Cleethorpes Town as well, who've been brilliant in recent years at step four. This is a hell of a playoff in the East Division we've got on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's like a Northern League light, to be honest, looking at it. And it's got an interesting couple of games, to be fair. Mass obviously tailed off a little bit towards the end of the season. They aren't picking up the wins that they were a few weeks ago. But, you know, it's a chance now for them to regroup and go again on Tuesday. And I think they'll be quite thankful that they have Shildon in the playoffs and not Stockton at this moment in time. Obviously, they may play Stockton in a week's time. But right now, the last team that Mass could want to face is Stockton, because over the years, they seem to have a pretty horrendous record against them. But looking at obviously that game first, the Mask United one, I saw Mask play Shildon at Mount Pleasant earlier in the season. And, you know, it was one of those games where Mask obviously had the clear quality out of the two sides. I think Shildon changed it around to go three at the back in that game, and Mask just killed them down the sides. And obviously, when you've got strikers like Adam Boys and Matty Timon in there, coupled with players like Stephen Thompson, Joe Wheatley that's been there, Kennedy that was at Spennymoor as well. You know, they've got real quality for a side that's at step four, because a lot of these players are, you know, they're very experienced step two and step three players. So that's obviously, in terms of quality, is going to be Mask's advantage. And then, yeah, the other game then, obviously being Stockton and Cleethorpes and Stockton. We mentioned that Mask obviously aren't going to want to play Stockton in a final, because they're sort of the team that they can't beat, the bogey team, if you will. But I think Stockton, I know a lot of the players at Stockton as well. Again, they're all very experienced step three players, step two players as well. the likes of Tom Portis in there, Shane Henry, Mikey Roberts, who of course was scoring 20 goals a season for Whitby only a few years ago, Nathan Mulligan too. So, you know, you see that they have the quality, but, you know, Cleethorpes do as well. But yeah, I would fancy them to go to Cleethorpes and maybe edge that game there with the quality that I know that they have.
Cleethorpes have beaten Stockton once this season and drawn with them. And I do remember Cleethorpes having beaten higher opposition early in the season in the FA Cup. So the draw was a 0-0 early in March, but early in the season, it was a 3-2 away win for Cleethorpes. And it was a bit of a thrilling game as well, just looking at it now from September. Cleethorpes Town scoring a winner in the last minute there after Stockton got an equaliser with 10 minutes to go. So could be a bit of a thriller on Tuesday night between those two teams. And Berkey, can I take you back into a time machine? The earlier shows that we used to do back at the Magnet. And I think it about 2013, I'm thinking. And I remember Swampy having a little mini rant about Shocker. I know they're very rare, aren't they? But he was having a little rant about how it's ridiculous, the playoff system, that you can have a team who's 15 points clear and they could get knocked out of the playoffs and not get promoted. And that's Mash United, isn't it? I mean, 25 points, the gap between Mash United and Shildon. But those are the rules, aren't they, of the competition? Everyone's aware of it. Mash just have to compose themselves now, don't they? And for a couple more battles.
Ultimately, yeah, they've just got to have their eye on the ball. I mean, we'll come to Workington soon, but it's theirs for the taking. They should win this. I'm not saying they're going to win it comfortably or anything like that, but they've got home advantage. They've only not won 8 games this season. You know, they've got 94 goals to the name. No one other than Liversedge is anywhere near that.
It's just worth mentioning as well, the last team to be involved with that sort of situation, remember who that was?
Was it FC United?
No, Simo?
Do you know, when you were talking then, it did take me back to 07-08 when Witten finished runners up in the Premier Division on goal difference. And they played Buxton in the playoff semi-finals, and Buxton was nearly 30-odd points behind. And Buxton, under John Reid, knocked Witten out in the semi-finals. Remember it well. Remember how devastated Albion were. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, but I have lived through that.
So you've done it twice.
Shaw Lane, yeah. Shaw Lane's another. But Witten did win the playoffs, of course, in 16-17. So I've seen both sides. Yeah, I've seen both sides of it.
And it's one of these things, isn't it, Berkey, with regards to the team that finishes second. We've said this so many times. And, you know, FC United a few years back, losing to Ashton United in the playoff semi-final. And it was just flat. That following Tuesday, after not winning the league, it was just so flat. But I think
they've had their flat week.
Yeah, they've been helped, haven't they? The fact it got sorted a bit earlier, I think. They've had time to get over the fact.
Exactly. They can regenerate.
A big good luck to Mash United, Cleethorpes Town, Stockton and Shildon. The gap, incidentally, between the top five and the rest of the league is 9 points, which is some going, I have to say. Those five teams have been brilliant this season. Yeah, big good luck to those four teams in the playoffs on Tuesday night. Let's go to the Midlands division now. And that league really went down to the wire. One of three teams could have won the league on Saturday. One of four teams could have finished second, and there was still a chance as well that a team from six could finish in the playoffs. So it was quite a Saturday afternoon, but in the end, Ilkeston Town were the victors. And let's hear now from the manager at Ilkeston, the league champions of the Midlands division. It's a welcome back to the show to Martin Carruthers. Well, Martin, a big thank you for joining us and a big congratulations. Pushed all the way, it has to be said, one of the most competitive final Saturdays across the Northern Premier League. How do you feel?
Absolutely ecstatic. It's been a really tough season for a number of reasons. You know, at times we've faltered. You know, if we're honest, over the last 6 to 8 weeks, we've scraped over the line. We've lost a bit of form, and we've had injuries to key players and suspensions. But luckily, you know, the owners have backed us all season, and we've managed to get in replacements. And we've sort of had to be you know, makeshift the last few games. The pressure's really told. You know, we've had big crowds, and certainly at home, you know, opposition teams have raised their games and the levels like they have all season, except where everyone's cup final. And certainly the bank holiday game against Shepshed, who were brilliant on the day and turned us over. And, you know, it's been very nervy and difficult, but we managed to get it over the line on Saturday, and it's a huge relief and much deserved for the whole club and the supporters.
When we talk about the actual title race itself and you know, what that final Saturday must have been like, with one of three teams being able to win it, Hales Owen being able to take second, still all up in the air for that final playoff spot. What's this competition been like this year? Because it does feel like the most intense of the three.
Yeah, certainly with COVID and the last two seasons being curtailed. So I think all the players in every team have felt it, because it's been a first full season for 3 years now. So, you know, fatigue and injuries, and everybody's felt it. And certainly with the pressure, and normally you'll get one team that runs away with it and everybody else is scrapping it out, you know, all over, you know, for the playoffs and relegation and stuff. But certainly this year, with the quality of the teams and, you know, the teams that have beat us this year, Chase Town, Sporting Colza and Shepshed, you know, have produced some really good performances. But, you know, at the minute, you know, on current form, you'd have to fancy Stamford, and in fairness, they probably should have gone up the last 3 years. So we've got a tough game against Belper and Elgin and Chase Town. It's just who performs on the day. And like you say, it's been the tightest league I've known for a long, long time. And, you know, we're just very grateful that we've managed to be the most consistent side. Maybe not the best side at times, but the most consistent side. And the league doesn't lie at the end of the season. So, you know, deservedly gone up in the end.
Yeah, I tell you what, I bet you God you're not playing on Tuesday night, that's for sure, given how competitive
those players are. Oh, 100%. I don't envy any of those teams. You know, I've been involved in the playoffs before with Basford, and it's not nice, and they're not easy, and it's a lottery, and it's like you say, it's who turns up on the day or the evening, you know, tomorrow night, and I wish them all the best.
So, Martin, when do you start thinking about next season? Because I know what you were saying about, at times, you might not have been the best side, but you're the most consistent side. The stats suggest, though, you've been fairly entertaining, you know, just shy of 100 goals scored this season in the league, which ain't too shabby, to say the least. So when do you start to think about next season and the makeup of the side? And because it's clear you've got a good team, let's say, for step three.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you know, I'm confident this current side would be, you know, more than capable of finishing mid-table in the next league up. But obviously, we wouldn't know that until put us in that situation. Yeah, we're going to be looking to make improvements. And with our current fan base, we're certainly looking to develop and go further up the leagues. But for me personally, you know, we want to you know, just to get up and consolidate. And, you know, if we could potentially push for the playoffs, that'd be great. If we finish mid-table, and I know myself and the owners would be happy with that, and, you know, certainly enjoy it, because there's been a lot of pressure this year to get promoted. We've done it, and it's been a lot of strain on everybody. And but yeah, we're already planning now and looking at potential targets. So, you know, hopefully we'll get our business done in the coming weeks and be rearing to go for next season.
And we have to say as well, you've already touched upon the crowds. I mean, just shy of 1,000 the average attendance for this season. So Ilkeston, we all know the size of the club. We all know the facilities. It's a fantastic setup there. So what's your thoughts on being back at step three in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division as a club?
Absolutely delighted. You know, it's the very minimum where this football club should be currently, and be great to go into some big clubs. You know, there are clubs in that league that are just as big as Ilkeston, and if not bigger, with bigger crowds. So it'd be great to be back and certainly boost the profile of the football club, and we'll be looking forward to it.
Well, Martin Carruthers, manager of Ilkeston, big congratulations on winning the league this season. A big welcome break for you. Have a lovely summer, and catch up when the brand new season's about to start in August, my friend.
Cheers, Ben.
Martin Carruthers there, manager of Ilkeston Town. Big congratulations to them. it really went down to the wire. It really did. I mean, fair play to Stamford, because they really did put the pressure on the teams up at the top towards the end. In the end, they finished second, Stamford. That sees them hosting Belper Town. Belper Town also under immense pressure from Carlton Town in their case. Commiserations to Carlton Town, missing out in the end. But Stamford against Belper, cracking game, that one. And in the other game, on Tuesday night, Hells Owen taking on Chase Town in a bit of a West Midlands derby there. Epic stuff in the Midlands division.
It was indeed. I mean, obviously, West Midlands did make it easier for Ilkeston there. Obviously, Stamford did everything they could to try and cause an upset, everything that they needed to do. Chase Town, looking back at the Spalding results there, just couldn't get the ball in. And as a result, now they've lost anything of like a home advantage. It's going to have to go to Hales Owen, which is going to be a massive game. We're talking about big gates. Any four of them teams could go win the playoffs, and generally I can't even try and predict a winner out of this one.
Stamford with 95 goals this season, which has only been bettered by Ilkeston, but Stamford's defence is better as well. Hales Owen 92. Just to say about attendances, Hales Owen are clocking on for nearly 1,000 average attendance this season. Chase Town over 600. So, like, you'd imagine that crowd on Tuesday night is going to be pretty big. And looking at the playoffs themselves on Tuesday night in the Midlands division, there's not much separating Stamford, Hales Owen Town and Chase Town in the final league table. Just 2 points. And Belper Town, well, early in the season, they beat Matlock Town, didn't they, by 3-0 away from home. So we know what they're capable of. So really, I don't think it's wise making any predictions on the Midlands Division's playoffs for Tuesday night. It's going to be absolutely brilliant, that's for sure. So, big good luck to Stamford, Hales Owen, Chase Town and Belper on Tuesday. And finally, for our look at Step 4 and who's joining us, let's go to Warrington Rylands now. Champions of the West Division. Only by a point, though, Workington pushed them all the way in what was a thrilling title race in the end when it comes to the West Division. But Warrington Rylands victorious and promoted to the Pitching In NPL Premier Division for next season. Let's hear now from the manager at Warrington Rylands. It's a big welcome back to the show to Dave McNabb. Well, Dave, a big thank you for joining us and a big congratulations to everyone at Warrington Rylands on a fine campaign and champions at the end. We're recording this bit of the show on Monday. How are you feeling?
Over the moon. I don't think it's really quite settled in just yet. Not just obviously the fact that we've won it, in the way that it happened sort of on the last day with ups and downs and I don't know, went through a whole range of emotions in those couple of minutes, sort of, you know, when the game finished. But I'm just made up we got there, made up for everyone involved at the club, and everyone deserves it.
Often, you know, these end of season games, the fans know what's going on. They're all there on football web pages, aren't they? And on the NPL Twitter feed, looking at what's going on in other games. But are you, as a coaching staff, and are you aware? And if you are, do you make sure the players are aware, or you just keep it all hands off in those final 15 minutes or so?
Well, it was really strange. I think what we obviously wanted to make sure we kept an eye on things, because obviously that would influence our results. I think initially the plan was, look, we just need to take care of ourselves. If we win the game, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. I thought we were really comfortable first half. Obviously, I was made aware of the scoreline in the other game at half-time, but wasn't really overly concerned. And obviously, come up second half, and it almost like the nerves hit us a little bit, and Bootle came back into the game. Then we were 2-1 down. Then we heard that it was 1-1 in the other game. And then it was really strange, because as much as you know, you're looking for that information, or you need that information, or it's coming, there was a lot of misinformation as well. I think there's a few people said it was 2-1 to work and said at one point, and then we had the corner, we sent the goalkeeper up thinking we needed to try and win the game, and it wasn't. So it was just a mess, really. It was just a roller coaster of emotions, like I said.
But at the end of it, you've done it. So congratulations, Dave. And I was going to say, I mean, we spoke, and it was welcome to the NPL show early on in the pre-season, wasn't it? It's a trajectory that the club's on with success after success. Next up is Step 3 football. When does your mind start to turn about towards that challenge next season of the Premier Division?
Well, I think it's going to have to start straight away. Obviously, we need to start finalising pre-season plans. Obviously, it's been quite tough, not knowing where we'd be, what league. So I need to finalise those plans sort of this week. And then start to sit down and talk to players about who wants to stay and identify another target to try and make us stronger to go into that league. Because, look, it's a monumental step again. Real, really big clubs, both on and off the pitch. The infrastructure that some of the clubs have got are massive. So we've got a lot of work to do. We're under no illusion how tough it's going to be. But, you know, one at the moment, we're really excited for it.
And you've, like you touched upon, you've probably not come to terms yet with the achievement of what's been achieved on the pitch this year. But when you look at the teams that you're above of this season in the West Division, I mean, it is a phenomenal achievement. I mean, when do you think you will come to terms with, you know, winning this division? Because, you know, when I go back to that opening show we did earlier in the year, I think everyone had an inkling Rylands would challenge, but not necessarily to this extent. So you must be so proud of the squad and the club overall of what's been achieved this year.
Yeah, look, like we said, I don't think we've sort of held back on what we wanted from this season. We wanted to try and sneak into the playoffs and then see where it takes us. We knew that from a squad building point of view that we'd get stronger as the season went on. I don't think there was any doubt about that. We were really fortunate with some of the recruitment in terms of the way things lay. And, you know, we got a little bit lucky on a couple of lads, bringing them in, real quality players who've helped push us over the line. And next season's, obviously, we need to start planning for that. But just at the moment, we're just going to take a bit of time, enjoy this, what we've achieved, let it settle in, and then start again.
And just a closing thought, Dave, as well, just about this division. I mean, how good has it been this year to be playing that step four? It was always the dream of Warrington Rylands, wasn't it, to get to this level. Now you're going to level up. I mean, how good has this tier of football been for the club and to be involved with it?
Yeah, it's been really good. I think it's been massively challenging for us as a club, both on and off the pitch. You know, we're far from perfect in anything that we do, but we are striving. We're all pushing in the same direction, and we're all desperate to keep improving ourselves in the club. So it's really good. It's been a massively competitive league. I've been so impressed with the standard of the players and the teams we've come up against, and the organisation and everything else that everyone puts into it. It's been really, really good. And again, just to finish top of the pile, it just mentally proud of everyone at the club.
Well, Dave McNabb, manager of Warrington Rylands, a big, big congratulations to everyone at the club for a brilliant achievement this year. And have a lovely summer and catch up in pre-season.
Brilliant. Cheers. Thanks, Ben.
Dave McNabb there, manager of Warrington Rylands. Big congratulations. Commiserations to Workington, we should say. Simo, there's a fair number of teams here that you've covered over the years and stuff. Firstly, just I mentioned for Warrington Rylands, it's pretty much like Liversidge. It's a club on a journey, and they're at step three after all the various, you know, trips to Wembley and stuff like that. Here they are joining us in the Premier Division next season.
And they'd probably say of their achievements so far, this is their finest, and I include winning at Wembley in that comparison. Moving smoothly up the pyramid. I mean, I've covered football in this part of the world for long enough to remember that when Rylands were a struggling Cheshire League team not that long ago. So it's remarkable, really, to see them making the climb that they are. And let's have it right. They've confounded expectation, because Workington and Marine were, going into the season, the outstanding favourites, I think. We all kind of knew that Rylands would have a go at it. No secret that they're really well backed financially, but I still think that because they were newcomers to the league, that Workington Marine, it was fair to have them as the favourites for the title. So to have pipped those two, as well as a string of very good other teams in what is a really, really tough division, by the way, is a tremendous achievement. And it'll be really interesting now to see where they kind of fall in the Premier Division. They'll probably be ambitious again to do well. We've got the spice next season of a local derby potentially with Warrington Town, if Warrington don't get promoted, sorry. So it's going to be even more interesting potentially to see where they peg their expectation, and also how they measure up to their rivals next season.
And just to touch upon the playoffs, I've not spoken to Neil Baker or Callum McIntyre at Leek Town or Runcorn, and it's about the actual playoffs themselves. But I'm imagining both teams will be delighted with the fact that one of Workington and Marine are going to be knocked out of these playoffs come Tuesday night. So that's quite a carrot, yeah. isn't it, Berkey, really?
I think Leek will do it. You know, Neil Baker and his side have been knocking on the door for so long now. They've not finished outside the top 10 in over 10 years. You know, they've always been a really strong side in this division, and they've got to get out of it at some point. They really have. They just keep running into brick walls, and I love going over to Haddison Park. In fact, there's a pub in Leek called the Blue Mug, and the landlord's dad used to be the chairman. It's named after him. Harrison Park's named after the landlord's dad, and I would love for them to come up just because I can go down there for a couple of shandies and have a lovely time staying over. Leek's a brilliant place. I love it. So there you go.
That's true. And it's on the way to Alton Towers, isn't it, as well, just to say.
Depends which way you're coming from, really. I mean,
that's true. Yeah. No, this show's too Manx-centric, isn't it, at times. I mean,
it's been said.
Just to finish off this West Division playoff, just to... Simo, I'll come to you because I want to talk about one Colin Linnets because Colin, you know, when I spoke to him, last time I spoke to him, we were talking about the playoff race between themselves and Clitheroe. And I get the impression he's deliberately wanted to keep Runcorn Linnets under the radar. But we're here now. He can't do that anymore, I don't think. But they are coming at this as the underdogs. And that's perfect for Runcorn Linnets.
It is perfect for them. It suits them. And already for them, this feels like a victory because reaching the playoffs, to reinforce what I've said, in a really, really tough, ultra-competitive West Division, you know, their highest ever finish as a reformed club. So there's loads to be enthusiastic about. By the way, we were talking about previous results this season. They did the double over Leek and also beat them at Easter. So
hang on, they've lost three times in a season. What Cleggy say?
Well, so Linnets are also the form. It's a real shame that it's ended up Leek v Linnets because these two are the red hot in-form teams going into the playoffs. And I think again, home advantage might swing it, but I do think who emerges as victors from this semi-final is going to win the final.
Well, of course, I just mentioned the fact, you know, Leek Town and Runcorn Linnets will be quite happy with the fact that Workington and Marine, one of them will be getting knocked out on Tuesday night of the playoffs. It works the other way as well. I mean, there's an informed team in Leek or Runcorn Linnets getting knocked out on Tuesday night as well, so it does work the other way, of course. But That's it for the show, I think, lads, unless you've got anything else to add. Paul, it's been a great season. I think it's safe to say that, but a long season. It's been the first season, a full season we've had since COVID and stuff. It's, I don't know how to end it, really.
It's been emotional.
I think that's a good way of ending it. Paul, what do you think of what we've all been through together as a shared experience?
Well, it's. I don't quite know how to answer that either, to be honest with you. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we've got to appreciate the fact we've got a full season in, because obviously that was the big worry when we all started back up again. We'd sort of had that one that was finished off, and then we finished early, should I say, and then we obviously had the season that started, and then we've got about 11 games in, and that was curtailed. So, you know, it's nice to be back having full seasons, enjoying the football again. Or some weeks not quite enjoying the football. that's the main thing about it for me, is that we've been and we've had another full season. It's been unusual because we haven't had one for a couple of years, but yeah, it's been good to be back.
Yeah, it really has been. We will be back, incidentally, with a weekly show later in the week where we'll be covering off the results from the playoff semi-finals. Big good luck to everyone involved in the playoff semi-finals. I didn't even mention the attendances likely in the West Division playoffs, but you'd imagine a big crowd's going to turn up on the west coast of Cumbria for Workington against Marine, especially given Marine's attendances this season. It's a long way to go, but they'll be travelling in good numbers. And Leek Town against Runcorn Linnets is going to be a big game at Harrison Park as well. But yeah, we'll have a show later in the week. And then we'll be catching up with the victorious managers from the playoff finals happening over next weekend. Big good luck to everyone in playoff action on Tuesday night. And it's now time to hand over to James, who's going to tell you how you can keep across it all for those of you out there who cannot make these huge games in person on Tuesday. James, the floor is yours.
So on the Twitter, it's going to be same as Saturday, live updates as they happen at the grounds. And then all eight semi-finals are being covered on the radio stations. Thank you for Paul Connolly's Whitby Town Radio, who are going to go to Mask and commentate. And then the finals, the same again. And obviously on the Monday, covering the playoff final in the Premier Division. But other than that, Facebook, Instagram and TikTok, official Northern Premier and Northern Premier League on Twitter.
Great stuff. And Paul Connolly, just to say, you probably already know this, but Mass United's welcome when I went there early in the season was superb. We got sandwiches, we got coffee. It was Rushall Olympic-esque. So congratulations on that game.
Yeah, they know us. They know us, so we won't get that.
Oh no, now you've said that. You're gonna get a cake. You're going to get everything. treating well, Mass United, on Tuesday. But yeah, a big thank you, Berkey, for 26-0 for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Simo, non-league reporter from Cheshire, big thank you.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Paul Connolly from Whitby Town Radio, lovely to hear from you again, and good luck with the commentary this week.
Cheers, Ben.
And James Hayes, big thank you for joining us, and good luck with the old social media stuff as well over the coming days.
I'm just glad I can delete them spreadsheets now.
Great stuff. Well, no, save them for the museum. Print them off and put them in the museum. But yeah, a big thank you for joining us. Good luck to everyone who've got stuff to play for on Tuesday night. And from everyone here on the Pitching in NPL show, have a lovely week. Bye-bye.